Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord. And sisters, and welcome to day 33 of our journey with Jesus, a Lenten reflection. Before we get started, as always, we'd like to invite you to look below in the description area for two links. The first one being our 40-day Lenten calendar, which contains all of the scriptures from each of our daily podcasts. Then the second link would be for our companion download, which is more of a study guide and will take you through each of the daily scriptures in greater depth than we can talk about in our podcast. So with the business out of the way, my lovely lioness, I think we can talk her into reading the scripture of the day.
Yes, it is a little wordy.
Yes, it is.
But again, it's Peter.
But it's good.
It is good. It's got a lot of nuggets in it.
So. Well, give it your best
okay,
shot, baby.
I will. So it's coming from 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10 in the New King James Version. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Mm.
So good. So much stuff in there.
Oh, it's loaded.
It's jam-packed of goodness.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I like to kind of take things apart, because it's so easy to just read through this and not really process, because Peter, in this case, he has all of these things in his mind that he knows. And he's lived, you know, for, well, the 3.5 years that he was with Jesus personally.
Mm-hmm.
He lived that on a daily basis. And then all of the years of his ministry, he has acquired all this knowledge, and he just talks and says these things because he knows them, and he just assumes that you know them.
So it should really say, if you know, you know, at the end. That's good. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, so I guess it just falls on us to really take these things apart, to understand what it is that Peter's talking about that he knows.
And you did it so beautifully in this. I'm going to just say, I'm just called out. I'm glad that this was not my scripture to unpack. And you did it. You did such a good job in the study guide. I like how you dissected it and broke it out. So it was really so much easier to understand for me.
Well, and for me too. That's what I have to do in my own personal studies. And when I read through things, is I have to really stop and take things apart to understand what these guys it's the Holy Spirit through these guys, what it is that they knew that led them to write what they wrote. And then that's when I really learned things.
Mm.
So, you know, and this is something that I struggled with. So in the study guide, you know, we approach it from the standpoint of stuff that we've dealt with, either that we've dealt with personally, or that we know that other people that we know have dealt with. And this is one of those things that a lot of people struggle with, is they just don't feel like they're anything special. They don't feel like God has done anything special in their life or has a special purpose for them. And so they just feel kind of ordinary, and they read stories about all these great things that people do in the Bible, but they don't associate that as something that they could ever do.
I think of the movie, Is This As Good As It Gets? As good as it gets. Like, this is what I am. This is what I'm destined to be. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So, no. You know, why would God want me to do more? Or why do I have a purpose?
Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, I'll use myself as guinea pig number one. That's something that I struggled with most of my life. Until I discovered that for me to think that about myself was to be looking at myself in the flesh. Mm. Not from God's perspective. And so this is one of those scriptures that will help us to really get a glimpse. If we take off our fleshly glasses when we're thinking about ourselves, it'll help us get a glimpse on how God sees us.
Put our God glasses on.
Oh, I like that. Yes. You know, we often talk about taking our religious glasses off when we read the Bible.
Yeah.
How about putting our God glasses on when we look at ourselves in the mirror?
Love that.
Yeah.
I love it. I know I will often try to change and morph and be someone that I'm not. And someone pointed out to me one time, they said, think of the people that could be suffering because they're not hearing your testimony. I'm like, oh. Ouch.
Yeah.
That made me feel bad, you know, because I'm worried about other people before myself, which anyway, it's a whole nother thing. But we've all been made for that special purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't fill my purpose and I can't fill your purpose. We can come together and have a joint effort that God has placed us together to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still you and I'm still me, and together.
Oh, thank goodness. I would hate to be paired with somebody like me. It would just be awful.
They'd have to stretch me pretty tall to be in your shoes.
Well, I do wear a size 14, so, you know, there's that.
You want to unpack this?
Let's take a look at this scripture and let's do me a favor, brothers and sisters. Set aside all of your own self-evaluation and listen to the words of God telling you who He has made you. And believe it. You just have to believe it. You have to make a commitment that whatever God says, I'm going to believe. So here we go. Ready? Let's take the first
lock
part.
In.
Let's yeah, go. Lock in. Here we go. But you are a chosen generation. And we're going to stop right there. Because that's a big one. You know what that means? That God has chosen you in your world, in this generation, right here, for right now. And He has a purpose for you.
I love it, because don't we always go, pick me, pick me, pick me? It's like, you know, we go back to the days of dodgeball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to be the last one that no one picks. And yeah. God is picking us all, and we're that number one pick for that purpose. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So you can just wish all away the whole dodgeball issues.
Yeah, and this is the God of all creation. And now stop and think about this. Not only did He choose you for right now in this generation, in this time, for His purposes, but He did that before He even created the earth or the universe. He looked ahead, saw you, picked you for this time in this place to do amazing things for Him.
He's so good.
He's awesome.
Mm.
So let's go on to the next part. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And we're going to stop right there, because if you've done any sort of study of Jewish history or any sort of deep dive into the Old Testament and the priesthood and the royalty, the kings of the Old Testament, you'll notice something here that's a contradiction. It's a royal priesthood. That's a contradiction, because royalty was never allowed to do the duties of a priest. And priests were never royalty. They were never kings. There was always this division, and that God kept them separate all throughout the Old Testament, except for one guy. And he makes a brief appearance way back in Genesis. It's Melchizedek, who was a king and a priest of Salem. And then he's not mentioned anywhere else until Jesus. Mm-hmm. And now Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which means he's a king and he's a priest. Not only is he a king, he is the King of Kings, and he is our high priest. So that makes us very special in all of history, from the beginnings of the Old Testament all the way through now. You, God sees you as a king and a priest in his family of priests.
Because we're joint heirs.
That's right.
So we get everything that Jesus,
that's right,
our brother.
We are one with him. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Love it.
We are one with Jesus. So you have been made one in spirit, or 1 Corinthians 6:17, excuse me. And you are now higher in rank than any king in the history of this planet, except for Jesus. Mm. That's how God sees you. Stop and think about all the talk about the royals in England. King Charles.
Right.
And all of the kings that have, and queens that have led up to him.
Everyone knows them. Everyone wants to be a part of that. I mean, the reason they're mm-hmm. so, it's so attractive and interesting, people envision themselves in that.
Oh, yeah.
In that kingdom, in that family.
You don't have to envision yourself as if you are, could ever be in that. You are now.
You're inside the gates.
The highest royal family that has ever existed on this planet.
So cool.
Yeah.
What a gift. That's awesome. What a gift.
So let's go on. The next part of this says, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Mm. Do you know that he called you? Out of all the people, he called you out of the darkness.
You.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. In the back to the dodgeball thing, he
yes.
picked you.
Woohoo!
That but you may proclaim the praises of him. How are you going to sing the praises of somebody you don't know?
Gotta know him.
And I
gotta hang out with him.
Mm-hmm, I guarantee you, the more you get to know about him, the more you're going to be like, oh my gosh, he did this and he did this. It's so exciting. Look, oh my gosh, isn't he amazing?
And I get to hang out with him.
Let's go on to the next one. It says, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God.
And this is my favorite. I think it's my favorite, well, for two reasons. It's my favorite because I learned something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd heard other scriptures where they talk about becoming new, where, you know, the blood of Christ washed away all our sins and we became new. But I never heard it in a way where it was a new, brand new thing, brand new, and something
never
that never
existed. Yeah.
Something that never existed.
Mm-hmm. And in the study guide, we point out, we use 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18 to establish this. And that's where you really get this concept. Because it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. And it goes on, but we're going to stop there because I want to point out this word new. In the Greek, they have different words for new. You have brand new as in like something that has just been produced. Like you get a brand new hammer or you get a brand new car. Fresh off the factory floor. It's new to you. It's never been driven before, so it's brand new. That's a different word than they use here. The word that they used here means brand new in the sense that it's never existed before. Nothing ever like you has ever existed before in all of the history of humankind.
Mm-hmm.
You are a brand new, unique, special creation that God created just for this time, just in this place, to accomplish the purposes that He planned before the foundation of the earth.
It's like those, when you buy something that says one of a kind.
Totally.
Ooh, it's valuable to Him, so it's valuable.
Yeah, because that means that nobody else can do your job.
Mm.
Your job was designed for you, and you are unique in all of creation. So only you can do it.
Yeah, I like where you said that He created you before the universe. And He had that in mind, that planned in mind of you. So, I love that because that just shows how special you are.
Yeah, in the scripture it says that He knew you before the foundation of the world.
Have you ever heard of an artist where someone says, I want a picture for this room? And they're like, well, I have this picture and you can build the room around it. So that's kind of what that reminds me of.
Well, yeah, because He saw you way in the future, looking down the timeline from the beginning of creation to you, saw you, knew you, and created a plan just for you.
Just for you.
And created His plan around you.
Right.
Accomplishing those things.
Just like the artwork.
Yeah, because how much was His plan dependent on David doing what David did? And Matthew and Luke and Paul and Peter, who wrote this passage. All of that was part of God's plan that He would use to bring the information.
How about Esther?
Esther, Ruth.
Oh my gosh.
Deborah.
Woo.
Everybody that you read about in the Bible was planned out just for their time in their place to do those specific things. Isaiah, Daniel. Oh.
It's so good.
It's incredible.
Nehemiah.
You are in that number. You are in that rank. You have a purpose that God wants you to do, and He totally equipped you.
Good.
As His king and priest. Man, that makes you special. So let's make a point to read this scripture to ourselves. Take our glasses, our fleshly glasses off, and make a commitment to believe the word of God, to take God at His word, put our God glasses on, and look at ourselves in the mirror and see what God has seen in us and made in us.
And share that revelation with others.
Yeah.
And share this, you know, the scripture
encourage
with others.
One
encourage
another.
Them, spur them on, because I know that we're not the only ones that have those feelings.
No.
And the enemy, again, that enemy, darn enemy, is sitting there waiting and starts whispering in our ear.
Well, and as long as he can keep that thumb on you and keep you believing that you're nothing special, you won't do anything. You're not a threat to him.
Right.
As soon as you discover who you are and the power and the authority that God has given you and who he has made you, you are dangerous.
And he will try to mess with you. I mean, just in our...
On a daily basis.
Just in this series, we've had so many technical issues. We've had different things thrown our way, and we know it's the enemy. So we have to just stay our path. We have to know who God made us, that God knew that we were going to do this, and he made a way for us. But if we were going to let the enemy get us down...
We would have quit a long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Yep. We would not be here talking to you today.
So instead, we say, not today, Satan.
That's right.
Not today. We are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
We are part of the kingdom.
You have no authority over us. You get out.
Yep.
You have that same authority. You have the same rank as Jesus. You are joint heirs with him. Not because you did anything to deserve it, but because he delights in giving that to you.
And he chose you.
And he chose you to bestow all of that amazingness on.
Juicy goodness.
Juicy goodness. There you go. I knew that was going to get in here somewhere. So.
Well, we can wax poetic.
All day.
All day, all day.
But we won't.
But I'd love to hear you pray us out on this. I know it's going to be full of juicy goodness.
I'd love to pray us out. Will you pray with us as we sign off for the day? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you saw fit to bestow us with all of these amazing gifts. You've created us as unique and powerful and royal priests in your kingdom. Father God, forgive us for allowing our flesh to keep us from acknowledging that. Help us to live lives honoring that, the price that Jesus paid to provide all of that to us. Help us to live lives honoring everything that you have done for us. Lead us each day, Father, into the path and into those things that you've planned for us to do, those purposes that you have established for our lives. Help us to just stay focused on you and receiving the things that you've sent to equip us to do our jobs. Not because we have to do to earn your love or your acceptance, but Father, we just want to honor the fact that you've already given us all of these things so freely. As our Father, we just want to be pleasing and to do honor to everything that you've given us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you with hearts overflowing with gratitude that there's not even words to convey. We just ask these things and pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our High Priest, our Big Brother, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of God's kids said,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen.
That was good.
God is good.
Always.
Shall we bless them with some perfect peace?
Absolutely.
Shalom. 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 We will see you next time. Yes.
We love you.
Please join us next time.
Yes.